I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection, and it's good to be back with you. Last week, I was in Florida doing opening meetings at PCA, and so I'm thankful to be back today and getting back into our Ecclesiastes study. If you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it and turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We are looking together at verses 18 through 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. Here's what the scriptures say. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labors wherein I've labored and wherein I showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. Now when Solomon writes these words, basically what he's telling us, kind of a summary, is that living an industrious life has limits. And if all I live for is the moment and what I can build now and what I'm going to leave for the next generation, if that's all that I factor into my decision making, then I really live my life in a very tragic way. And so he's going to talk a little bit about that and explain why that's a tragedy in his mind. The first thing I want us to talk about this morning is that God actually created us to be industrious people. In fact, when we read wisdom literature, we read Proverbs, and we read Ecclesiastes, we wouldn't walk away with the impression that it's okay to be lazy and it's okay to not work hard. The point that's really being made here is that though work is important and work is necessary and work is something that we're responsible to do and wisdom causes us to work and to work well, wisdom recognizes that if all we're doing is living for now, our labor has a limit to it. And so we see that God actually created us to be industrious people. In order for us to see that, we should go back to the creation account and see what God says about what he created Adam to do. In Genesis 2:7, it says, the Lord God formed Adam, the man, out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he'd formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for the food. And so when God created Adam, he put him in a garden, a place where he was to enjoy the beauty of the creation, and he was to manage it in an industrious manner so that he could actually glean fruit and live and sustain himself off of the land that God had created. He then goes on in verse 15, it says, and he took the man and put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. God actually wanted Adam to take care of the creation. He wanted him to manage those resources. So part of why God made us was to take care of his creation, to manage it well. Verse 19, it says, out of the ground the Lord formed every beast and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And so what we see is that being industrious, management, working hard, taking care of God's creation, learning about God's creation, these are things that God created us to do. And so if God created us to do them, then they're good. And they're something that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do it well. It's also something that we're supposed to enjoy and find delight in. And so I guess we could kind of summarize a view of work this way. Work is good. Now, not necessarily all work. There are some kinds of works that are not noble because they're sinful. But as long as it's not a sinful work, as long as it's industrious, it's being done in a way that pleases the Lord, work is actually a good thing. It's noble. It's a high calling. And the truth is that when we do our work, we can feel a sense of satisfaction in it. When he talks about there were some things that were created really just for the sake of beauty, the idea is that when we do our work right and we find enjoyment in it, it's something that we can actually delight in. But this is what's really important that we have to remember, that when we read Genesis chapter 2, we're looking at work before the fall. After the fall, we see that there is a change in some way to the way that we look at this issue of work. And so we see in Genesis 3 that all our labor will be left to another person. So as long as we work in this world, there's going to be an end point. And then everything that we've done is going to go to somebody else, and either they're going to do well with it or they're going to waste what we've done. And our work will be forgotten in many ways. He says unto Adam, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the fruit, the herbs of the field, and the sweat of thy face, and thou shalt eat bread, till thou return into the ground, and from out of it from whence thou art taken. For that dust thou art, and into the dust thou shalt return. And so basically what he's saying is, look, now because of the fall, you're still going to labor, but your labor is going to be much more difficult. When you plant that field, you're going to have to pull up the weeds. You're going to go through a lot of challenge and difficulty. And as you labor in this world, there's going to come a point where you die and your body decays and it becomes just another part of the dirt, if you want to put it that way. And so what he's saying is, listen, all of a sudden now work that is noble and that is good and brings satisfaction on some level is something that has an end point. And now there's a vanity aspect to this issue of work. And so really that's what Solomon is lamenting when we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. The second thing I want us to notice is that an industrious life without eternal purpose is ultimately draining to our soul. This is what he expresses in these verses. Look at verses 18 and 19. He says, yea, I hated, and that's a strong word. He says, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. Because, here's the reason, I should leave it unto the man that shall follow after me. And by the way, Solomon never saw the result of his labor as a king. But the truth is that when Solomon stepped down, and when Solomon passed on, and Solomon's son took over the kingdom, the Bible reminds us that Solomon's son was very unwise in the way he managed the nation. And not only was he unwise in how he managed the nation, but God ended up allowing the nation to be divided between two kings. And so really what Solomon is expressing, the fears of his labor, they actually came to fruition in his own life. He says, I leave it to another person after me, and who knoweth whether he shall be wise or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I've labored, and where I have shown myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. What Solomon's saying is, we work hard, but we won't see the long-term benefits of our labors. We work hard, and we might make good decisions, and we might build something that's very valuable. But in the end, we're going to die, we're going to leave it to somebody behind us, and in the decades that follow us, the great choices we made might be squandered by the people after us. And he said, really, what's going to happen is what we did that was good will be forgotten. And the decisions that we made that were so wise, they're going to be forgotten. And when Solomon thought about that, he said, what is the point to all of my labors? When I labor, there's obviously a limit to how much value is really there. And so we really should ask this final question. How do we respond to this kind of a thought in our minds? Because this is reality, folks. The reality is, as hard as we work in this life, there's going to be an end point and we're going to leave it for somebody else. So here's some thoughts that I think actually will be very encouraging and helpful. The first is this: work hard. Hey, the best that you have is what you have. And so take what God has given you and use it effectively. Be an industrious person. We're not supposed to walk away from this portion of Ecclesiastes with the conclusion that we should just waste our lives and not be industrious. That's not the point. The truth is there are some benefits in our labors. There are benefits to ourselves. In other words, we can get enjoyment on some level out of what we do. And the labors that we do have the ability to benefit other people. So I want to encourage you, work hard, be industrious. Be industrious in a way that actually benefits and helps other people. And find joy in what you do. But here's the key. And this is what's so important. Because if we don't get this, then we end up where Solomon is. We need to do our work for the glory of God. And we need to do our work with the understanding of eternity in the balances here. We need to recognize that as we labor, there is a limit to what we're doing. There is a day that we are going to put in our last hours and we're finished. And somebody else is going to take that work. And the truth is, if we're really only living for the here and now, then we are ultimately going to come up empty and short. But if we're living for God in eternity and we are laboring for His honor and glory, the truth is that what we're doing, whether a person squanders it in the end or not, what we did today actually has value in light of eternity. And so let's not just simply live for the emptiness of the moment, but let's live with an eternal perspective. I want to remind you that there is an eternity, and God has put us on this world for a purpose. And we're reminded of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 really is the antidote to this discouragement that we can feel when we think about the limits of our labors. Here's what the scripture says. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, and this is important, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want you to realize that if all you have is the here and now, then you are living for an empty, empty, industrious life. But if you recognize that there is a God, and there is eternity, and there is a resurrection, and you can live this moment in an industrious manner, in a way that not only benefits you right now at the moment, and others right now at the moment, but actually has eternal value and significance, then you can be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to challenge you this morning to take that perspective into the work that you do. If this has been an encouragement to you this morning or a blessing, I hope that you'll share that. It's good to be back being able to share some of these things from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'm looking forward to just continuing to move our way verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the book. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study the scriptures and to think about these truths. Help us to do our labors for your honor and glory, not just for their temporary value. Help us to delight in your good gifts. Help us to enjoy our labors, and help us to do them effectively in your purposes. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see you this morning, and Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow looking at the next section of the book of Ecclesiastes. Have a great morning. Bye now.